o'clock. Can we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, can you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Bennett is absent this evening. Mr. Inks?
Present.
Mrs. Statz?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Thank you very much. And we're on to public participation. Is there anyone that would like to participate? Going once? No? Okay. All right. We're on to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? No? Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? No. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. On to item 4, Board Business Committee Reports, Operations Committee.
Yeah, I have a number of items. I talked with Keith today just about some of the things that our maintenance team has been working on. And some of these may be repeats, but I think the board would benefit from knowing this. Obviously, in January, we finished the NES roof project. We relocated four rooms for about 3 or 4 weeks. Stephanie worked directly with our roofing company, and they found basically some wet cement that was causing a leak in those classrooms. We worked really hard to find it and couldn't find it, so we did a scan, discovered that, and it's great. They repaired a good chunk of that side of the building, and that warranty is for how long?
It was a tear-off, so it'd be 30 years.
30 years. 30 years. All right, so we're good to go. That was big, and we have some future roof work in the makings as well. Keith talked to me about some of the heating pumps, and our three buildings outside of the high school, heating, cooling, vent systems, there are consistent challenges for our maintenance team. So it's one of the things that they do this time of year is they go from building to building and look at some heating pumps that are struggling and do some thorough cleaning. And we've had some issues on some really cold days up here in this building. So they've been working pretty hard on that. The steam boilers at the middle school and at NES, the condensation pumps and the tank are two different units. And what Keith has found, and so the condensation pumps, I hope that I'm accurate. No, that's on something else. So he has a product that is doing both of those that's new that he's trying out in one of the locations. Circulating pumps at elementary, they're working on those. The heat exchangers are another element that our maintenance team is working on. He says between 5 and 10 of those in the district that they're taking out and cleaning. We've talked at length about the pipes here at middle school. They've led to a couple of leaks and soaking rooms, and quite frankly, many of the pipes that are in the middle school are buried in concrete, and so they're inaccessible. Mm-hmm. It's not as if you can do a full replacement of that system. So I think I shared a picture with the board at one point up in the nurses' area that was causing some leaking in the kitchen. There's just some consistent issues with these pipes that they're dealing with in, quite frankly, all three buildings. It's because they're old and they're just dealing with those issues. The univents at the middle school, I always want to say high school, but it's the middle school. They're working hard at replacing some of the blower motors. And if we're looking at any of the heating systems that probably need our attention, the systems in this building. The Univet systems need a lot of tender, loving care.
What does that do? What is the Univet system?
It provides heating.
It's in each room.
Each room.
Each room has one? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Did he show you when he has to replace the motors?
Yeah.
He looked up the motors and he had a picture of it, and it was called, not antique.
Vintage.
It was vintage something was to get the motor to replace it. That's what he has to look up. So he found a unit that has two really big ones in it. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder.
You are, but I love it.
You want to go for it?
No,
go.
You go.
I'm sorry.
You go for it.
So instead of replacing each one, the vintage ones that were they like $1,000 or more?
$800.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To replace it, he found a unit that they can pull that out and replace it with a different unit. All they have to do is take the motors off and replace it with this one motor. It's not vintage, it's new. And they can put it in, and it's like a $200 conversion.
Oh, really?
So he's very excited about it. They're just getting ready to try it.
They
in
did one.
Lee Master's room.
They installed room. It.
Okay. Or Lee Meister.
Yeah.
I always want to call
room?
Lee Master.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a singular unit that contains the motor and the fan. So in the old units, the motor and fan are separate.
Yeah.
The motor alone cost $800. This motor and fan is about a $580 price tag.
And it's shiny compared to the other.
Yeah, well, I bet.
But yeah.
So, you know, again, and I use the term with Keith, and Keith never really says much. He just works. And I use the term putting a Band-Aid on it. And he said, I don't put Band-Aids on anything. And he was dead serious. He goes, we do permanent repairs. We don't put anything that's not going. He goes, our goal is to fix it. He goes,
right.
I don't use that term Band-Aid.
It's
so I apologize.
Right.
Yeah, but he says one of the things they're struggling with also up here, from an energy standpoint, is our boilers have steam traps, you know, that helps with the heat, and some of those traps they find occasionally are not closing properly, or they won't open. So there's just, you know, when you're talking about an operations group that's trying to keep a district afloat, these are just maintenance issues.
Right.
And so
we're just keeping the doors open so kids can come in every day.
It's a lot.
On a cold day.
Yeah, right. It's a lot. And, you know, we have three maintenance guys, and they're just everywhere all of the time, you know. And I won't say anymore that they're putting Band-Aids on things. They're fixing. So, you know, we talked a little bit also about the late summer, and I think the board knows this. You've probably driven on it. We worked with the city on the road from the middle school back to
Higgins.
Yeah. And that is a fantastic road. They did a great job on that. So we're thankful for the city and our relationship with them. And so that's really from a maintenance operation standpoint. Steph, do you want to talk at all about any gas pump stuff as it relates to that, or did we already just talk about that? We talked about that in finance.
Talked about that in finance.
Yeah.
We did. First, but back on your thing, do you want to mention the job posting?
Yeah.
Maintenance?
Yeah.
Since
so,
links
yeah.
to that.
Yeah, so we have we've been operating with one less maintenance position all year. And so we have posted a maintenance one position with HVAC, minimum 3 years required, because these guys need help. So that was posted yesterday.
Great.
And that was part of our financial plan. It's been part of our dialogue. It's not a new posting. All right.
The fuel pumps, I think we have talked about that. I know we talked about it in finance. We have underground storage tanks here on site at down towards primary that we've had, I believe they've been installed about 22 years, give or take a year or two, and they're supposed to be 30-year tanks. So we know in the back of our minds that's going to be coming up. They'll have to be replaced, which is either taking them out and putting in new, but what they recommend now is doing them above ground tanks. So it isn't anything that's totally on our radar, but we're thinking about this, and we're trying to keep that open there on what we're going to do at that end. But the pumps that we actually pump the fuel with, and then there's a reader on them. They put a card in so somebody can't just come up and take it. It's, Lewis, you can probably explain them a lot better than I can, but it has a reader on it. They punch a code in, then they can fuel. The city also shares the fuel station with us. That reader has been, Keith has put Band-Aids on it. I'm sorry, it's not a permanent fix. It is a Band-Aid. It's wobbly, it's rusted, it's a mess. There's a canopy over it that protects the fuel station and some of the things that, the buses and stuff that go under it, that's getting bad. So we don't have a solution for it yet, but it's something that's on our radar. We have some quotes for replacing the entire system. We're talking with the city to see, because we share it, if there's some additional costs with that, if there's an opportunity to look elsewhere, maybe, since we're going to have to look forward of, looking forward, we're going to have to do something different, what could come of that. So there, we are in discussions with the city on what might come out with that. It's a big project.
Before we close on operations, the city's been on that, Lewis has been on that. That is a group that when we started had a laundry list of bullet items that we completed. It was really a group that, we needed better parking arrangements at NES. And that group came up with the idea of the turnaround at the end of the playground that really allowed more cars to get in there. There are a lot of issues that we're having, but it's also a group that put a number of things out there that we accomplished. Signage on the buildings came from our operations committee. The brand new signage at NES, the signage up here at the middle school, which I think looks great at both locations. So I don't mean to have a negative tone. Our maintenance team deals with a lot because we have older buildings. We're not the only district that has that. But I didn't want to sound too overly negative because it's also a committee that has gotten quite a few things done.
And speaking of our maintenance team, I just want to say, on the snowy, icy days that we've had, just those few that we've had, they did such a phenomenal job coming in. They come in at 1 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and there's only three of them working on these parking lots. And when we put that high school in, we made a challenge for them. It looks nice and it's beautiful with the islands and all of the peninsulas or whatever you want to call them in it, but it's hard for them to plow around them, to clean around them, because they can't just push the snow somewhere. They have to physically, scoop it up and move it. So we've created a lot of issues for them that I don't think we really thought about when we saw aesthetically how pretty it is. They've done a great job getting it clean, the parking lots. And I always feel like we're kind of an afterthought because we're kind of away from everything. And when we come in and our parking lot is clean and there's no ice there, wow, they've really done a great job. And, they get all the sidewalks clean, the paths are all clean. So they've done a phenomenal job. So kudos to them.
Great. And it's time to put the snow removal stuff away for the
Yep.
Day.
I can attest I've driven by here at 3 a.m. and they've been out working.
Yes.
I've seen them.
Yeah. You've logged a few hours during that time as well.
It's been a challenging year for that crew on top of all the other issues they have to put up with on cold days.
Yeah.
Because it never spaces itself out.
Yeah.
Doesn't snow today and the boiler breaks tomorrow. It always happens on the same day.
Yeah, the one day they were getting ready to go home and there was a pipe at NES that something was wrong.
I don't know if we discussed at the last board meeting the night of that the classroom flooded. Did we discuss that last month? The Sunday night that the classroom flooded.
That was another thing. Yeah.
They said that was seamless. No one even knew. They came in the next morning and class went on just like no one knew that they worked through the night and Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening.
Yeah, we had about a half an hour stretch, maybe an hour, where Tricia was there and we were starting to get concerned about that entire wing. Mm-hmm. And, was this going to cause a cancellation? And they got there and worked till dark and got it fixed and we had school the next day.
The kids were so excited.
Yes. They don't need any more days off.
That is true. So,
All right.
We're going to move on to finance. Mrs. Butler.
Stephanie's going to give us just a brief update.
Well, we talked about the fuel pump, so I won't go into that again. We just kind of came up to date on where we are financially or where we're hoping to go. And one of the largest things that we've talked about is the reinstatement of some of the budget cuts that the governor had instituted when COVID started. We're receiving an additional $210,000 this year that we thought was originally cut from our budget. And then we're also receiving an additional $812,000 in ESSER II funds. that we were kind of holding back on what we might be able to do with those, but they're telling us that the guidelines are the same as the ESSER I funds, which means they can just be used to operate the school district. Anything extra that we have to do COVID-related, anything that we need to do just to operate the school district so it can offset general fund expenditures. So that will help our bottom line. And we also talked about the Fair School funding
plan.
Thank you. I needed a word for that, which is a new funding plan that some treasurers, superintendents, different people around Ohio have gotten together. There's a big group of them that have come up with a new school funding idea that tried to get through before the new budget plan this year. They didn't make it in time. So it's been reintroduced this year as House Bill 1. Has a lot of backing. There were 67 sponsors at the House. I'm sure there's more than that now. That was back when I took notes on it. And there's a big push to get it moved through, get it to the Senate, and get it approved. And they're trying to get it into the governor's budget bill that will take effect July 1. It will be a biennial budget, so it's for 2 years. And they're trying to get the new school funding plan in that. It's called Fair School Funding. I don't know if we'll come up with a new name. They'll have some cute acronym to go with it, I'm sure, at some point. But it has a lot of momentum. It's good for districts. There's some community schools now that have come out. They're complaining about it. They're against it because they don't feel that it's fair for them. But the public school districts really feel that it will work well. They're looking at a 3 to 4 year phase-in for it or longer. Right now, it's dependent on funding. Just, you know, Ohio's passing out funds for COVID and they're passing out funds for other stuff. But this group feels that they'll, without much change, what would you mean, change in taxes, just moving some things around that Ohio already collects, that they could be able to fund this within 3 to 4 years. So we're hopeful for that. Dana, you sent out March 23rd?
Yeah, and all of you received an email today.
For
March 23rd, there's a webinar on the Fair School Funding Plan, and they're encouraging superintendents to get it out to everyone, residents. So I'm going to work hard over the next couple of days. I'm going to make a little announcement tonight when we have community members here just in support of this.
Very good.
Yeah, they're looking for everybody to reach out to your senators and your congresspeople to get behind this. They really feel like it's could actually fund schools the way that they need to be funded. It was Cindy
97.
Thank you. 97. You always remember that date when the DeRolf case and school funding was deemed unconstitutional, and it's been that long. They haven't come up with a funding plan that works, so they keep trying new ones and they keep finding reasons that they're wrong. So this one, they seem to have the feel that it's really going to work. So,
well, the simulations are out too, and this is what's important to remember. No one's going backwards, but the schools that do well financially, they may get as little as $42,000 more than they have in the past. And out of the 17 Summit County school districts, we would be getting the third most. Akron's getting about $17 million additional dollars. Barberton's over $4 million. Norton's over $3 million additional.
Wow. Additional.
We go from $10 million to about $13 million state aid. So, yeah. And here's the thing. They feel good about it. They do. I think there's one obstacle. The big obstacle is, and I know that this is public, but the president of the Senate is all about school choice. And so part of the Senate plan is going to be school choice wrapped into this. You talked about, you know, the various schools, the charter schools. He's going to demand that they be a part of this or it's not going to get passed. There's actually a thought that he's going to have a little twist to this that they are going to propose outside of what the House has proposed. And they're going to find some way. And the other thing is, we're slated to get about $560,000 over the next 2 years in health and wellness funding. They announced on Thursday, we could fully expect that money to come out of this $3 million that, you know, could increase over time. So it all looks great. But if they can't fund it all for 3 or 4 years, then that health and wellness money is going to mean more. I mean, if we get $1 million more next year and, you know, $280,000 comes out of that, it's still going to be nice.
Right.
But it's not going to be like this big ticket item that's going to be here for good. So You know, for districts, and I mentioned this in the finance meeting, for districts that are getting, you know, $50,000 extra, but the health and wellness spending is coming out of that, they're not going to see an increase at all. We will see an increase for sure.
We're getting about $290,000 in the student health and wellness. So they're talking about, the governor is behind supporting that, or he wants to see that continue. But now they're saying that they could pull that away and use it to fund this fair school funding. So, you know, lose $300,000 to get $3 million, you know, we would be okay with that. But there are districts who would lose, the health and wellness would lose that money and then not gain as much on the other end of it. But there are mostly districts that can do well. We can say that, but we're not in their shoes, but they could do well without it. Our other discussion was on the permanent improvement levy. It expires next year, so we're looking to put that on for renewal this November. I've contacted our attorney that writes up the resolutions for that, and he should have one in April for us, so we can vote on it in April and May, get it to the Board of Elections and.
Which would be no tax increase.
Yes, no tax increase, no tax increases, renewal only.
And we talked about the roofs, the future roof projects, that is part of our PI levy that's going out. We have budgeted for, which building was it to get done?
Primary and NES are for this cycle. I don't remember the other ones.
And that will take care of our roofing situation.
About 3 years out, and then they should all be replaced or repaired.
15 to 30 years.
We should be good for 15 to 30 years, which is great, and that permanent improvement levy is key to that.
Yes. It is, and everything that we talk about in operations just usually ties right into PI. Pays for the buses, it pays for the parking lots, it paid for the road out the back, pays for the repairs to the boilers, it will pay for the gas pump, it will pay for the fuel tanks underground. It's
been a
helping
great fund.
With
it's been
technology
great fund.
Tremendously.
Yes, our technology, yes.
That all comes out of there. So
and I will say that levy has been very well managed. I mean, to getting
it's
we're getting,
lasted
we're getting
well.
The biggest bang out of our buck out of that levy for the money we do get.
Yeah. And this community, if I'm right, I believe it's supported this particular levy since 1983, mm-hmm. the renewal of it. So
we can get that on in November. That'd be great.
Yeah, we get about $700,000 a year in that. So
great.
It's a lot of money, but when you start talking about the middle school gym roof that was $400,000, it goes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. Move on to policy.
We met last week, and there are 14 policies on our regular meeting for first reading. Really nothing other than state mandated changes or recommended changes. The only real follow-up item that we had is there is a policy in regards to our business advisory council to the board. Pat was on that council, from my understanding, mm-hmm. before he departed. So we're probably going to need to get that ramped back up and have a board member slated to join that group.
Okay.
I will share this also. You know, there's been some dialogue with Barberton and Wadsworth. We've joined the ESC Business Advisory Council. Wadsworth's big enough to have one on their own. Barberton's big enough to have one on their own. We've talked about joining one together. You just have to be a part of one. So we're with the ESC. You know, but in future years, if the board would be interested in, you know, forming a business advisory council that was solely a part of Norton or in concert with maybe the Four City Compact, I think that those superintendents would at least dialogue about it. Mm-hmm. Right now, the ESC is serving us well. So.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Yule. Community engagement. Mrs. Stevens.
Thank you. For community engagement, we're trying to get together on the second meeting to get some action plans together. We've been talking about consistency in the branding at the school. Mr. Addis has had some Klingon type stickers that can go on the back of the car. I'm not sure where we are on that yet, but we're trying to have one at least one consistent look, not necessarily one logo, but we're still getting through all of that. Then we also have talked about bringing back possibly bringing back Midnight Madness or other community engagement type celebrations of Norton to get everybody involved. And then the other area we really want to focus on is alumni and trying to bring them back into the fold as best we can. And, you know, hopefully we can build them with the younger graduates and try to follow up with them. But again, for example, I guess we're going to be doing the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we want to be able to reach out to the alumni to say, hey, of all your classmates, who do you think should be involved? So those are the, you know, big focuses.
Okay.
Wrap the community back into the fold and bring the alum back into the fold and try to get a consistent look, branding for the district.
Great.
So what I can share is Power Graphics put these together. They are back window Klingons, and it all peels off. So it's just the N and just the Panther. There's no white backing. It's just clear. And the committee had talked about some of the back window logos that we see in various towns. You know, you see the Copley C, you see the W from Wadsworth, the Highland H, everywhere you go. So one of the ideas was how many people in Norton, you know, and we didn't just want an N because there are a number of N's that are out there, but the Panther sets us apart. And so Power Graphics will, and he's getting close to this, put this for sale on his website. And so everything would be handled through Power Graphics. And then, you know, he would likely make a donation to the committee of our choice with this, which I'm assuming would be the Community Engagement Committee, you know, and maybe work that we would need to do to contact the alumni or any of the activities related to that. So they did a great job with us, and they look great.
They do. They look really good. Great. Ms. Stats, thank you. Those are great plans. Those are two huge groups of people, the community and the alumni. Two big groups.
Where are we, and maybe, I don't know if they filled you in, but we were getting new move-ins or families to Norton at some point. Pat was working.
You have to work through the fiscal office,
okay.
And everybody's still working off-site at the fiscal. Trust me, I've tried to get deeds filed. It's everything is very slow moving down there. I've left two different voicemail messages. I haven't heard anything back.
Okay.
But it's not like I can go down there either
right,
and say,
right.
Hey, there's no one there. It's I don't know when they're gonna get back to you know, actually working in the office.
I would say for some of the items that Elisa has brought to the community engagement and, you know, the enthusiasm and the hopes, we need more foot soldiers. You know, we're gonna need people to help with the Hall of Fame, and we need more people to help with contacting alumni, which is something I'm not sure that you do it by yourself, but I know that you're heavily engaged in that.
Two
people, exactly. which is a huge task.
Oh, huge.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I ask is I was thinking, because I just got a call over the weekend from the college alum, is you know, and I don't know what our volunteer stipulations are, any more volunteer hours for seniors, if that's even still in play at this point. But what I was thinking of is seniors volunteer to make phone calls to alumni. I mean, seniors volunteer, you know, maybe future seniors,
yeah.
You know, juniors graduating in the summer, that if we can get those lists, that we actually have students reaching out to these new families and welcoming, you know, especially if they have kids. I mean, it's huge to say, hey, welcome to Norton, you know, we're seniors and thanks for moving in and, you know, it's an exciting place. I don't know, I'm not on that committee, but it just, this weekend when I got the phone call, you know,
yeah,
it's always encouraging because you had students saying like, hey, how, you know, where did you live? What dorm, you know, how was the food when you were here?
Yeah.
You know, and while it was super busy, and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, after 10 minutes, I'm sorry, but I got to go.
Uh-huh. How much do you need?
Yeah.
As much as you can get.
Just one of those things. I want something to think about for the future once we can collect that information and we start ramping up the alumni.
Well, and again, those kind of endeavors are huge in that when I attended Hoban, like as a class of 84 officer, I had to call all my classmates. Every year we had a phone-a-thon, but you gotta set up the telephones, you gotta set up a room, you better feed those volunteers. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge undertaking.
It's a big undertaking.
It really is. But I do, you know, the only thing is, do you really want your high school kid reaching out to a family that just moved in? Safety concerns, we don't know who these people are.
Sure.
But
maybe with an adult, I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe, I'd be willing to go.
Well, maybe we, as school board members. But it's, I don't know who's moving in and who's not. And do you go to renters or only homeowners?
Right.
That, I tell you, that and Pat did that. That's a big task for
one person.
Yeah, for one person. And I think Paul Howe helped him a little bit on that. But that's something that 3, 4, 5 people have, like, that's where you need more volunteers, more community members to say, this is something that we want to create. If we're going to grow it, we need more than an administrator and a board member on these committees. They need to grow.
Yep.
You know, we used to have a welcome wagon. I know when we moved in 85, you know, they came over. I wonder if there's somebody from that used to do that, you know, may have how they organized it and how it worked.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same thing, you know,
absolutely,
for the schools. We really need, you know, we have 400 new houses coming in.
We better have a nice packet. I would love to put together a packet to, again, that lets people know, look, if you have a preschooler, here's the number you call. To have a nice little phone list, here's the number you call, here's the forms that you have to fill out.
We have all of that, but not necessarily.
In a packet, not necessarily.
Well, I mean, our families access it, but it's not anything that we've taken out to people. I mean, it's all over the website, and it's all online now.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to have a little welcome packet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little history of the schools, you know, different things, you know.
But again, you know, we've got open enrollment, and we've got a rent. How are we going to know when a renter moves in? And then a renter's going to feel slighted if we only go after the homeowners.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all great ideas.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way through the post office you can find out who, you know, change of address or something like that. Even, I'm not sure.
Awesome.
I don't know.
I don't know that they'll do that.
Time.
Yeah.
Always time.
Well, if you do hit the new homeowners or the people that buy, I mean, you can only do what you can. You know,
you
can only do with the information you can get. If, you know, unfortunately, if the renter's information isn't out there, there's not a lot we could do if we can't access it. But anything we do is better than nothing.
Right. Nothing.
Right.
It's better than doing nothing. So that's great. So. Awesome. And I do know Mr. Ida sent out the email last week about the nominations to the Hall of Fame are being accepted for the March 1st through May 1st. The nominations are being accepted, and is that available online? The lines is available on the internet. So
it is a PDF they can print out and mail, or they can do it right online into a Google form.
That's great.
Created by our own Angie Wagler.
Perfect.
Fantastic. And with that, we're going to segment right into technology and instruction. Were you done?
Oh, yes.
Very good. So there you go.
Okay.
You're on.
I do have some things to share. Currently, we have 1,345 of our Chromebooks out with students. We've gotten some Chromebooks back, whether the student got one for a gift or what have you. They're using their own personal one, and so they've returned ours, which we appreciate. We've had some students withdraw from school, so we've been tracking those down and getting those back. Since winter break, we've done 150, and I shouldn't even really say we, it's really the kids, have done 150 repairs on Chromebooks. Whether it's a display, power issue, just a cable to the camera or the camera itself, sometimes they just need to wipe the device clean, but at any rate, I just thought I'd share that, 150 repairs just since winter break. We are looking at scheduling collection of devices. I'm trying to work with the principals and trying to give ourselves days while the kids are here at the end of the year, as opposed to, okay, the school year's over, come back on a Saturday and turn in your Chromebook. So, you know, doing that and keeping in mind that the seniors are, or not just, not really the seniors, the underclassmen are taking exams. Well, they may need to be using the school device for exams. So if you're taking exams the last 3 days of school, does it leave you those days to be collecting them? So just working with them, we'll come up with a good plan for that. We are prepping devices for testing. NES starts March 25th, so those new devices that we got through the coronavirus, you know, all the funding and grants, Best Buy grant, those sorts of things. The kids are preparing those new devices. Some of them were putting in old carts because they had laptops, just regular PCs that are 6 years old that no one wants to use anymore anyway. We're able to put those and utilize those carts, getting them ready. And then slowly we'll be looking at middle school and high school as well. They start testing a little bit later. So prepping devices and getting them into the buildings for that, because obviously with all those devices loaned out to kids, some of them will be bringing them into school to use. However, others are full remote. And so, you know, just trying to work out how to make all of that happen. So we've been working on that. Also, another compliment to maintenance, they are extremely helpful. As far as, we had them go get two of the carts from NES that had the old laptops, they bring them over to us here so we can work on them, rewire them, and all of that. And even at testing times when we have to share carts because there isn't enough in the building, during all of this happening, they've been great about bringing them over and helping us out. Through the purchasing that we did also, I'm in the process of investigating, you can get assistance through a promotion with Google on some administrative tools that we can use to prep the Chromebooks or keep track of Chromebooks, and also professional development for John and I. There's something called Google Admin Console that helps manage all of these devices, and Google, you know how fast Google changes things, you know, it looks different daily, you know, there might be something that's changed. So you could use credits from your purchases to retrieve services and resources. There's a company that I've been working with on that, so we're looking into seeing what else we can get for free. Also, I've just been promoting the Neotech conference to our staff because it is something free. It's great. They do need to register, but especially this year, there's only a few sessions that are live after school at 3:30. But other than that, they're all on-demand sessions, so a teacher can watch them in the evening, on the weekends, whenever they want. And again, it's all free. We also have Erin Fulton, one of our elementary teachers. I just met with her this morning. She's presenting a live session, so kudos to her for taking the time. You know, on top of a crazy, crazy year, she's prepping for that, and she does great stuff. So. Our committee hasn't met in a while, but we had decided that it would be late April, early May when we met again, and I'm going to start working on that meeting because I think we're ready to start talking and, you know, going over some things, lots of changes, getting ready for summer and all of that. So that's it for technology.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We did not meet due to some circumstances, you know, out of our control. We are supposed to meet this month. That is going to also depend on some issues, whether or not Mrs. Bennett is available to join us or not.
Okay.
So that would be, we have an agenda of things to discuss. It's just, you know, we're not sure when we're going to be able to have our next meeting.
Very good.
Do you want to talk at all about the corners for the, what was the project we just met with them about? With Jessica and Tracy and Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Capstone.
So we are potentially looking at doing a lot of research and some investigation into having a capstone project for our students at the high school. Looking to begin something freshman year, kind of build a portfolio as you go through, researching a potential career or an area of interest, having particular things at each grade level that would be done in the end, then senior year would be presenting their project to a capstone committee. So I've been talking with some other districts to find out who is doing something like that right now. There aren't a lot in our general close vicinity, but there are some schools that have employed a capstone as an alternate pathway to graduation.
in the past. So we're looking to maybe make some moves in that direction. And not next year, but planning. You know, it's going to take pretty much a full year of planning to get everything in place and get it off the ground. So we did meet with the counselors, Mr. Shaner, Mr. Addison, and myself, and we will be working through some of those details and then kind of sharing that out as we go. So we're looking to really kind of build upon the need for that college and career readiness, you know, determining if college is the path for you, if enlistment is the path for you, if career is going to be the path for you, and trying to find ways to really get every department, everybody in the high school really to buy in and to see the importance of it and to kind of move in that direction. So we're taking some steps to hopefully make that happen in the next year.
Yeah, the buy-in is crucial. It would be crucial for the board, the leadership, teachers, because there's an element of a capstone project where a student goes after what he or she wants to learn, which is really appealing to me. There are some independent study courses that are affiliated with this, but you know, some of the past examples include student design of Nike shoes that got the attention of Nike headquarters in Beaverton. Kid ended up taking a trip out there to tour Nike. You're talking about, you know, real learning experiences. But the one I shared with them, I was an assistant principal at Strongsville for 1 year, and they had a capstone project, and one of the seniors had written about the jazz influence on the formulation of some of, you know, our big cities. And so her senior project, she got in a car with her dad and went to New York City, New Orleans, San Francisco, Seattle, and gave this presentation on how jazz in those cities helped impact the growth and development of the music industry in those cities. So I'm not sure there's anything better than an experience like that for a student to learn. Now, that's probably like cream of the crop, best example I've ever heard. So there can be some struggles with this, but when you get a student who you get them in a room and they say, I can learn whatever I want to learn, like I can go for this, and you say yes and you support them, that can be really engaging for some kids. Some kids will struggle because they would just rather be taught. But it's interesting. We had a really good meeting. I thought it was a positive meeting. And Lewis, you talked about the volunteer hours. The thing about a project like that, because the volunteer hours at nearly every school that we're affiliated with, in my own building as a building principal, are nothing but a pain for the students and the administration. You want it to be something great.
Right.
It's a struggle. So this is incorporated into that, where their project is, it's something that they're doing for themselves on their way to that. So it was a great meeting. Ryan and his team did a great job and planned and had everything ready, and we had a good meeting. So interesting.
Great, good stuff. Awesome, thank you very much.
Jeanette, how about in your world?
Yeah, I did want to mention, along with the curriculum department, we had talked a couple of months ago at our curriculum committee meeting, the difficulty that our students are having accessing the curriculum due to mental health and behavioral health challenges, especially this year with the pandemic. So we have had several discussions internally about what we can do, and we've had a really amazing partnership with Red Oak this year and in years past, but it's really blossomed this year. They have done an amazing job really rallying around us, problem solving about what they can do to support us. And most recently, we added a case manager position from Red Oak. She's at the high school 15 hours a week. And we were hopeful that we would have a good response, and it's really been an overwhelmingly positive response. She has about 45 students on her caseload that are accessing her services regularly. She's leading groups and just really been a great resource. So we're really excited about that. I think it came at a perfect time for us. We were able to onboard her right before we returned back to, you know, full-time in person for students who wanted it. It does still remain a challenge to get in touch and engage with some of our children and our families that have kind of, you know, fallen, you know, off of being engaged with us during coronavirus. But otherwise, their response has been really great, and that's been a really positive addition to our high school, and just helping students have you know, kind of those soft skills and being able to manage their mental health needs so that they can do well in their curriculum.
I want to thank you for getting all of that. And I know Cindy and Jennifer also talked about the need during the curriculum meeting. And that whole conversation sort of spawned this, that we needed this at our high school. And like Jeanette said, I've just heard nothing but amazing things. And I was at an event with Red Oak and they told me, you got a special person who's serving your high school kids right now. So felt great about it. So thank you.
They've really been wonderful to work with. And, you know, the provider from Red Oak for integration with the counselors and the team at the high school has really been seamless. And I'm eager to see what we can do for kids with this new position. So.
Great. And there was the update? I was looking for the update you sent out about Red Oak.
What about it?
An award.
Yeah, our district.
They're
making an announcement about it on Monday. Okay. I don't know all of the details, but you know, they have a number of districts that they serve, and they have a committee of people that get together and vote on, you know, these awards as they apply to some of the districts that they serve. And so they're making that announcement on Monday publicly.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Does anybody have anything else we need to discuss? No. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And is there any discussion? No. Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mr. Ings?
Yes. Motion passes 4-0. We are adjourned. Thank you.